Saram, dear listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai to continue our live broadcast from the studios. Till now, you are listening to the live Vedam and Bhajans from the Sai Kurvanth Hall, from the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir. And after listening to the Prashanti Mandir Bhajans, it's time now to learn to sing Sai Bhajans. Many years ago, on one occasion when Bhagwan was giving darshan, there was a student who had just got the opportunity to sing in his presence. And on that day, as Bhagwan was giving darshan, he spotted this boy and just said, rather asked him, "Are you a singer or a sinner?" Now the boy was shocked. What to say? Swami asked again, "Are you a singer or a sinner?" And the boy just looked at Bhagwan, stupefied, speechless. And Swami said, "Both," and walked away. As this boy reflected on what Bhagwan had said at that point in time, perhaps it did not make much meaning. He perhaps did not understand the profundity of what Bhagwan was saying. He thought, why is Bhagwan asking, "I'm a singer?" Maybe Bhagwan is just playing with the words singer, sinner. But now, when he reflected on these words, it acquired such deep meaning. Bhagwan always says that a singer is one who has this amazing privilege of connecting hundreds to God. He becomes a conduit when he renders a bhajan with devotion, with feeling, with proper raga, bhava and tala. He becomes a messenger to convey the prayers of hundreds. He becomes a conduit to connect with the Lord. That is, when he does it properly, he almost becomes a saint, a true singer. But when he fails in this, when he becomes the reason why so many people get disturbed in their prayers and in their meditations, when he becomes the reason, or rather an obstacle between the devotee and the Lord, when he becomes the reason why devotees, instead of going near God, actually are distanced from God, when he doesn't render the songs properly, when he doesn't sing with proper raga, bhava and tala at that moment, he, instead of, on the other hand, in the previous occasion, getting the wishes and good wishes and the love of the devotees, now he actually becomes a subject of their ill feelings. He now becomes a sinner. So becoming a true singer or a saint and a singer depends on how you do your bhajans and how the lead singer handles that privilege that Bhagwan has given. It's an amazing opportunity. At the same time, it's a very precarious one if you don't do it well. So that is the importance of leading the bhajans in the right manner. You get amazing benefits, but the flip side of it is also very adverse. And that is precisely the reason why we have to sing well. We have to sing with all our heart, all our soul, all our energy. And we have to sing with proper raga, in proper tune, in tune with the proper beat, and with a heart filled with devotion. And to help us in this endeavor is the whole idea of this program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. I'm Team Radio Sai's Vishu, and let's get on with yet another episode of this program. But before we begin, let us start with a prayer. Let us first offer our most loving and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of the one who is most merciful and kind than we can ever imagine. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we value every single act of grace and mercy that you have showered upon us, and use that to make our lives meaningful and purposeful. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to a new episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The bhajan we will be learning today goes like this.
Jaya Ma, Jaya Ma, Jagadishwari Sai Ma.
It's a short Sanskrit bhajan, and let's begin with getting familiar with its lyrics, and then we'll move on as always to the raga, the thala, the notes that makes this bhajan, and also the meaning of every word of this composition. And in the end, we will have a short conversation with Mr. Abhishek Narayan Acharya, who has been playing tabla in the Divine Presence since 2006, and he has had opportunities of beautiful interactions and getting divine directions about offering one's music to the Lord directly from Bhagwan. So we will listen to him towards the end of this program. For now, let's begin with the lyrics.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C sharp pancham. Jaya Ma, Jaya Ma, Jagadishwari Sai Ma, Jagadishwari Maheshwari Sai Shwari Sai Ma.
So that's how the lyrics go, and let's now proceed with learning how to sing this bhajan. As always, you will hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line slowly without any musical accompaniments, and Anirudh will follow Ravi Kumar after every line. Please, dear listeners, as you listen to this, sing, join. It will help you to better understand and grasp the tune of this bhajan.
Jaya Ma, Jaya Ma, Jagadishwari Sai Ma.
Jaya Ma, Jaya Ma, Jagadishwari Sai Ma.
Jagadishwari Maheshwari Sai Shwari Sai Ma.
Jagadishwari Maheshwari Sai Shwari Sai Ma.
Jaya Ma, Jaya Ma, Jagadishwari Sai Ma.
Jaya Ma, Jaya Ma, Jagadishwari Sai Ma.
Jagadishwari Maheshwari Sai Shwari 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 Sai Ma.
Jaya Ma. Jaya Ma. Jagadishwari Sai Ma.
So that was the tune of the bhajan in the voices of Ravi Kumar and Anirudh. And now let us learn a little more about the composition of this bhajan. And for this, Anirudh is here with us in the studios. Welcome, Anirudh, to this program.
Thank you, Vishu.
So tell us, in which raga is this bhajan based?
This bhajan is based on the raga Darbari.
Okay.
In Hindustani music. And it is called as Darbari Kannada, popularly called as Darbari in Carnatic music too.
Okay, in Carnatic also it is called Darbari.
Yeah, Darbari Kannada.
Darbari Kannada. Yeah.
Very emotional raga it is. Generally it pulls people's hearts.
Yes.
And there are many popular compositions, many bhajans, many songs in this raga.
Very powerful raga.
Yeah. I think we had one session explaining this raga where I sang one Telugu song named Shiva Shankari.
Yes.
Very popular song.
Yes.
In this raga, Darbari Kannada.
I think that was for the bhajan Lambodara. Maybe.
Yeah, Lambodara. That is in this raga.
In this raga. Yes. So go on, please, for the benefit of our listeners, tell us the notes that make this raga.
Yeah, sure.
Sariga Mapada Ni Mapasa Sani Sada Ni Pa Mapaga Mare Nirisa.
In this raga you have minor ga, which is komal ga, and dhaivat also as komal, and nishad ni is also komal.
Yes.
Sarega mare nirisa nisada dani sarega mabada ni pa mapasa pa ga mare sarega mabada nisarega nisari pa ga mare nirisa dani sarega nisada ni ma pa sa pa ga ma re ni sa da ni sa.
These are the typical common phrases of this raga. It has a very meditative and emotional feel, as I told you before.
So shall we take every line of this bhajan and see how the swaras play out in each line.
Jaya Ma, Jaya Ma Jagadishwari Sai Ma.
It's a very beautiful composition. Jaya Ma. Typical Darbari phrases are there in this composition.
Sani Re Sariga Gaga Ma Marizada Nirisa Jagadishwari Maheshwari Saishwari Sai Ma Mapasai Sasapam Pani Paga Gaga Ma Marizada Nirisa Jaya Ma Jaya Ma Jagadishwari Sai Ma Ma Padha Nidaza Paniri Ririzada Nirisa Jagadishwari Maheshwari Saishwari Sai Ma Paniri Riri Sariga Gaga Marisada Nidisa Jagadishwari Maheshwari Saishwari Sai Ma Mapasai Sasapam Pani Paga Gaga Ma Marizada Nirisa.
Wonderful. So as you said, there are so many bhajans in this raga, apart from so many songs, right?
Yeah, we have Lambodara.
Yes.
Mujhe darsh dikhao Bhagavan Rama Shri Rama Chandra Jai Jai Ram.
Wonderful. I think so many convocation songs or dramas are also in this raga, isn't it?
Yeah, generally this, since it is an emotional feel where like a devotee is pining for God,
can be very beautifully expressed.
Very beautifully it can be expressed through
so
this.
It is used by Gita. Yeah. Yes, wonderful. And the tala of this bhajan is the same 8 beat,
same,
right?
Normal 8 beat. 8 beat. Aditalam.
Aditalam.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Anirudh.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
So that is the raga and the tala, and coming now to the aspect of understanding what this bhajan conveys so that we can sing this with feeling. Let's take each word of this bhajan and see what it really means. The first line.
Jaya Ma Jaya Ma Jagadishwari Sai Ma.
In this line, the first word Jai occurs twice and it means may victory be too. The word Ma comes up thrice in this line and it means mother. The other words are Jagadishwari and Sai. Jagadishwari comes from Jagat and Ishwari. Baba says Jagat refers to the world, coming from Ja meaning come and Gat means go, referring to the endless cycles of births and deaths in this world. Ishwari means goddess, and it represents the energy principle that sustains the cosmos, which has emerged from the eternal supreme consciousness. The other word, Sai, in this line comes from Sa, meaning divine, and Ai means mother. We know the word Sai has so many meanings, but this is one meaning, divine mother. Baba says that the supreme energy, when it is manifested in its sattvic aspect or its pure, quieter and calmer, nobler aspect, it is delineated as the great teacher and inspirer and adored as Maha Saraswati. When it is rajasic, that is when it is active and potent, the great provider and sustainer, it is hailed as Mahalakshmi. And when it is tamasic, that when it is latent but apparently quiet, when it is sort of dark, as the great destroyer and deluder, it is Mahakali. Since energy is all pervasive, omnipotent as well as all comprehensive, it can be contacted everywhere in outer nature as well as in our inner consciousness. All energy that pervades outside or inside is divine. It is Divine Mother expressed in many ways. During a discourse in 1988, Bhagwan elaborated on the cosmic energy principle and said the supreme Shakti or the cosmic energy principle manifests herself in the form of Durga, Lakshmi and Saraswati. Durga grants us energy, physical, mental and spiritual. Lakshmi bestows on us wealth of many kinds, not just money but intellectual wealth, the wealth of character, the wealth of health and so on. And Saraswati bestows on us intelligence, the capacity for intellectual inquiry and the power of discrimination. And Baba went on to stress that our physical mothers who gave us birth are indeed embodiments of Durga, Lakshmi and Saraswati, because they provide us energy, intelligence and sustenance. The scriptures declare Matru Devo Bhava, revere the mother as God. In Indian culture, the mother is always accorded the foremost position. And Baba has emphasized this on numerous occasions. On one occasion, he said, there is no need to propitiate Durga, Lakshmi and Saraswati for energy, for material prosperity and for worldly knowledge. If we love and adore our own physical mother, we shall be showing our love and devotion to all the goddesses. And in another discourse, in 1972, Baba said that even a little sign of gratitude to our parents will gladden their hearts immensely. And explaining this, he said, the envelope might cost a naya paisa. Inside it, the bit of paper might be shoddy and soiled. The scribbling on it might be full of blotches. But when the child writes to the mother, and when the mother opens that letter and reads, tears of joy roll down her cheeks. And Swami says, the envelope in which the letter is placed might be a deluxe one costing 10 rupees. The letters may be of gold, printed in choice antique type in an aristocratic press. But the mother is not interested even a little in the envelope. All that the mother craves and seeks is love. She craves for gratitude. She thirsts for that sympathy and that love. She values feeling, not external display. And then Baba goes on to add, just like the physical mother, the divine mother too is moved only by the feeling of an individual. She does not appreciate demonstrative trappings like matted hair, rosaries, marks on the forehead or priestly robes. What she values is sincerity, yearning, true yearning, virtue, compassion, gratitude and love. That is how Swami says we must revere our own mother, and that is how we must revere our divine mother too. There is a small but powerful incident where Bhagwan revealed that he indeed is the embodied form of the energy principle pervading this cosmos. On one Friday, a devotee named Mr. C.L. Visveshwaran and Professor Kasturi had the opportunity of massaging Bhagwan's feet. Suddenly they were filled with the strong fragrance of haldi or turmeric powder in their hands. And when Professor Kasturi asked Swami about this, Swami simply replied, "What is the big surprise in this? Today is Friday. In many temples, special abhishekam and adornment is being done using haldi powder, as Friday is generally dedicated to the mother goddess." That was the reason why they were filled with the fragrance of turmeric powder. So in these little ways, Bhagwan revealed his cosmic form, the cosmic energy that he is, who is present everywhere, all the time. Hence in this line, Jayama, Jayama, Jagadishwari, Saima, we glorify Mother Sai, who is the supreme energy principle that activates and permeates every speck of this vast universe. Let's move on to the next line.
Jagadishwari Maheshwari Saishwari Saima.
The first word here is Jagadishwari, which we are familiar with. The second word is Maheshwari, comes from Maha meaning greatest and Ishwari means goddess. Maheshwari refers to the one who is the consort of Maheshwara, and Maheshwara is another name of Lord Shiva. The word Maheshwara can be split into Maha and Ishwara. Maha means great, while Ishwara means the Lord. So Maheshwara literally means the great Lord, and this is one of the appellations of Lord Shiva. So Maheshwari refers to the great goddess who is an inseparable part of the Almighty Lord Maheshwara. The third word is Saishwari, comes from Sai and Ishwari. Sai comes from Sa meaning divine, and I means mother. There is an insightful experience of one of the teachers who indeed is a very sincere spiritual aspirant serving in Baba school in Alike, the Satya Sai Vihar in Alike in the state of Karnataka. This is recorded in the book Sri Satya Sai Divya Kapashraya, authored by Mr. B.N. Narasimha Murthy, the former warden of the Vrindavan campus of Baba's University in Bangalore. Now, before this aspirant met Swami, his favorite deity was Sri Lalita, the goddess adored as the mother of the universe. So he would chant the thousand names of the mother every day. And when this incident happened, he was studying the Upanishads and contemplating on the meaning of the mystery of life. So one night he prayed to Swami before he went to bed, "O Lord, please throw thy divine light on my path and grant me a glimpse of the truth of the mystery of life." And his prayer was answered the same night. He saw in his dream Swami standing right in front of him. There was a bewitching smile on the Lord's face, and slowly he saw the divine smile blossoming into a big laughter. And even as this was happening, there was a transformation in Swami's form too. And as he watched, he saw Bhagwan's form change. And finally, it was no more his form. It was now the form of Sri Lalita. She was there standing right in front of him. And then even astounding things happened. The mother's form now started growing. And finally, she grew so big that her cosmic form actually bridged the sky and the earth. And now he saw thousands of children playing on the mother's cosmic body. The children were all dressed in various garbs. Some were businessmen, some were officers, doctors, engineers, scientists, teachers, carpenters, masons, mechanics, all sorts of professionals and all sorts of people playing on the mother's body. There were also some children dressed as sadhus and sannyasis, as saints and sages, and they were in ochre robes. Everyone was engrossed in their favorite game. And as he watched, it just sent a chill down his spine, because he saw this absorbing and thrilling sight. So many children playing merrily, totally unaware of the mother on whose cosmic body they were actually playing. And then he heard this divine melodious voice of the mother. And this is what she said: "These are all my children. They are playing and I take great pleasure in their play. In fact, it is my game. They are all my tiny little darlings. When any of them is tired of the play, he would cry for rest and I shall take him back into me. He will then have eternal rest in my bosom. I and my children are one." He heard this voice and then the mother vanished. There was no more the form of the mother, but now once again it was the form of his beloved Swami. Bhagwan was now standing in her place and his hands were raised in benediction. As he saw Bhagwan raised his hands in Abhayahasta, in that instant his dream ended. And when he woke up, his heart was simply filled with light and bliss. He was so overwhelmed with what he had seen, and what came to his mind was one of the thousand names of the mother in the Lalita Sahasranam, which says, "Janma Mrityu Jara Tapta Jana Vishranti Daini," which means, "O Mother Lalita, you grant peace to those who are struggling with the triple sufferings of birth, death and old age." And this experience became an important milestone in his spiritual progress. Hence in this line, "Jagadishwari, Maheshwari, Saishwari, Sai Ma," we adore the universal almighty Mother Sai and pay our loving salutations at her lotus feet. Let's move on to the third line.
Jaya Ma, Jaya Ma, Jagadishwari, Sai Ma.
Here again we are familiar with all the words in this line. Let's now move on to the last line of this bhajan, which is sung in two variations of tune.
Jagadishwari Maheshwari Saishwari Sai Ma. Jagadishwari Maheshwari Saishwari Sai Ma.
Here too we are familiar with all the words of this line. And it might be pertinent here to recall a beautiful incident that happened in the 60s when Professor Kasturi was the editor of Sanatana Sarathi, the Ashram Monthly magazine. In 1961, there appeared an endearing picture in the Navaratri issue of Sanatana Sarathi. The photo showed Swami lavishing his love on a couple of babies, holding them in his hands, and casting this as a frontispiece in the issue of Sanatana Sarathi, synchronizing with the Navaratri festival of the Divine Mother, the editor, Professor Kasturi, captioned this photo as Satya Sai Mata. And before giving print order, he showed this to Bhagwan. And looking at the caption, Swami spoke in a deep voice pregnant with motherliness. He said, "Sai? Why Sai in this? Just have Satya Mata, the true mother. That is adequate." And then Swami went on to add, "The mothers who bring forth and bring up the babies are all unreal. I am alone the eternal, the true, the real mother. I am Satya Mata." There cannot be a greater affirmation of the divine motherly principle that Sai is, who is the highest goddess, who is the sustainer of everything in this universe. And that is exactly what is conveyed in this line, Jagadishwari, Maheshwari, Saishwari, Sai Ma. With this, dear listeners, we are now done with understanding, or at least getting a glimpse of what every word in this line conveys. Let us sing this bhajan once again with this deeper understanding and picture the mother in our mind's eye. You will now listen to the complete version of this bhajan as it is sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir. Please listen carefully and join in the singing.
Jaya Ma, Jaganishwari Sai Ma.
Thank you.
In the last part of this program, let us listen to a conversation with Mr. Abhishek Narayan Acharya, a member of the Prashanti Bhajan group since 2006. Abhishek joined the Sri Sathisai Mirpuri College of Music in Prashantinilam in 2004, and after his diploma and post-diploma in tabla and vocal, he stayed on in Prashantinilam to serve in Radio Sai, and even now continues to play tabla in Prashanti Mandir every single day. In this extract, he shares about the various aspects of playing tabla that he learned directly from Bhagwan. This would really help immensely all those who want to play instruments during Sai Bhajans. Please listen to this conversation with Mr. Abhishek. Finally, Abhishek, I know in this last 5-6 years that you have been part of the Bhajan group, and I know there are plenty of memories associated because it is a long time. So tell us of those indelible moments, you know, which you can really share with everyone, which are your eternal sources of inspiration.
There is one incident comes into my mind. It happened during 2008 when I was playing tabla for the Bhajan group. I finished my studies in March 2008, and after that for
diploma and post-diploma.
Diploma and post-diploma course. After that I was waiting for some opportunity.
You had decided to stay back in Prashantinilam?
Ji. I stayed put. So one morning in 2008, I remember, I was playing tabla. Now to remind you, I had been playing in Bhajan group for 2 years. I joined in March 2006. This is sometime in 2008. 2 years of my experience of playing tabla in Bhajan group is already there. I remember the Bhajan, Parthishwari Jagat Janani. I was playing tabla for this. Suddenly, my hand started playing something which I didn't know what it is. And it felt so good. You know, being a student of music, we are always encouraged to listen to music of all great performers and great people, great pundits of music, to get an idea how to accompany those things and things like that. We have to listen to all the great artists. So for bhajans, we also used to listen to Anoop Jalota ji's bhajans, and you know, because listening is a part of learning. Whenever we used to listen to all those great people, there used to be something very fascinating about their playing. And we used to, you know, every student of tabla or their respective field dreams that when we would be able to perform like that. It was not a performance, but it is something like that.
how I felt of my playing on that particular day was the similar when I used to feel any other great player playing.
Like it was a wow feeling.
Yes. And I don't know what I'm
And you don't know what you're doing. And yes. You just feel connected. Probably you're connected with some source.
Yes.
Or somewhere the knowledge is
yes.
just...
Yes. I had been learning tabla in music college for about 4 years. I was done with my studies. I had been learning tabla in my life right from my childhood. I have got advanced learning of tabla also. But I just, at that moment, I could not figure out what my hand is playing. But whatever it is playing, it's so good. It is so wonderful. That entire particular bhajan, right from that particular time till the end of that bhajan, I experienced wow. After that, I was again back to myself. I knew what I am playing and what is happening. That feeling is gone. Okay, that was something to really think about and introspect within later on. Then again, it happened in a matter of 2 months or something. I was again playing tabla in the evening for some particular bhajan. My hand again started as if I have no control over it. It started playing something so out of the world. Everybody around me is appreciating. I mean, they are looking at me with appreciation in their eyes. And I am also kind of very much feeling happy. Feeling happy and stunned at the same time about what is being played. I don't know. I'm not able to figure out what is this phrase I'm playing. But it is so good. And it is going on. In that mood of the bhajan, it is going on, going on. It kept on happening. Now quite frequently. On average, in a matter of 1.5 to 2 months, it will happen. Then eventually I realized one day that what I was playing was the bowls of tabla I was familiar with, but they were never in the forefront whenever we are given lessons. For example, we are given lessons for tirukettu, one particular bowl. We are given lessons to improve our dhira dhira. And some kaidas and some relas, they are structured to help us improve upon these basic and most important bowls. But there would always be some ancillary bowls put there in order to complete the structure of that particular phase. This particular phase which had been coming in my hand during bhajans was the set of those particular ancillary bowls only put together, which were never in forefront when we learn. But eventually, the definition of laggi, one particular thing which is played for lighter music, bhajan and geez, ghazal, they fall into that lighter music category. Tabla players or the accompanying artists play these particular set of lighter bowls. And that in a faster speed on a continuous basis, so it becomes kind of raw, ladi, laggi. So ultimately it was forming laggi, but I had never been given lesson about that. We were focusing on main, important and very serious stuff to play. Little did I know or little did I notice that these are the small ancillary bowls used to be there, but never focus used to go on them, because focus used to be on higher and most difficult and challenging things. And then I realized, oh wow, this is how it goes. And the mood, eventually in the broader perspective, later in the hindsight, when I introspect about it, I came to know that every bhajan doesn't have a same mood. In terms of musical, this thing, some bhajans which are structured in 6 beat, 7 beats, and usually kaharva, in that also there would be sometimes adha we can play, and you know,
even the 8 bit can be played in
fast
so many
and
ways.
Slow. Yes. So that sets up the mood of the bhajan. Same things in a same way, it is not advisable to play for the bhajans. So like tabla players should be able to correspond to not only the rhythm of the bhajan, but also the mood of the bhajan.
Yes.
We should be able to pick up and we should be able to slow down according to the presiding mood
of
the bhajan.
So it's not just the beat, but
yes,
the right beat.
The right beat in tune with the mood of the bhajan.
It should supplement what is being conveyed in
yes.
the bhajan. So that was Abhishek Narayan Acharya, an alumnus of Bhagwan's Music College here in Prashantinilayam, who now works as a sound engineer in Radio Sai. In fact, he's one of the sound engineers for this program too. So with this, we've reached the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We do hope you enjoyed it. The sound engineers, as I mentioned for this program, are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background music for this was done by another alumnus, T.S. Ramakrishnan from Chennai. We humbly offer this endeavor to our beloved Bhagwan, our Divine Mother, who energizes all of us here at Radio Sai every single day, every single moment. Dear listeners, please feel free to share your feedback, requests or suggestions For this program, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org, listener@radiosai.org. So with this, it's time to wind up this segment of Thursday Live Broadcast from the studios. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and my colleagues Prem and Sai Prakash are willing to take over for our next program based on Bhagwan's discourses, Shravanam, Mananam, Nityadhyasanam. So that is coming up now, but I will be back in 1 hour at 8:35, and then we will have another episode of this last segment of Thursday Live Programs, Outside, Inside, and Deep Inside. And today, we have a panel discussion with three former students of Bhagwan's University who have chosen to take the road less traveled. They have chosen to stay back after their masters in Bhagwan's college to serve in his institutions in the Prashant Nilayam Ashram. So we will speak to them. We will find out why did they take this decision and how does it feel as they reflect 1 year of being in Prashant Nilayam and working in his various missions. So that is coming up 1 hour from now. For now, Prem and Sai Prakash will take you through Shravanam, Mananam, Nityadhyasanam. Keep listening and sit down.